Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Are good works really needed for salvation? It's the name of my sermon today. Folks, it's so good to be a Lutheran Christian. Really, think about it. We understand that we're not saved by works. We understand that we do not have to earn, in fact, cannot earn, extra credits or points with God, no matter how much good we try to do. We understand that our salvation is blessed on Jesus Christ and his death and his resurrection alone. Yet, we have our own Lutheran Latin slogan to drive that point home. Of course, everything sounds better in Latin, doesn't it? Oh, sola fide, sola gratia, sola scriptura. Boy, that sounds familiar. I wonder where we've heard that or seen it before. Grace alone, faith alone, scripture alone. Good truths, aren't they? Well, according to scripture, where does our faith come from? Well, we're saved by the faith that God gives to us. Faith isn't something we do, it's a gift from God. So, not by our own faith, but we're saved by the faith the Holy Spirit works in us and strengthens in us. That's the reason we baptized even the smallest of children, because we know it is. Not by human might, nor by human power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Well, stop and think. Are the babies going to be cognizant of what's going on? No. Do we believe that we have to have an age of accountability or decision? Well, yeah, we do a little bit, because what's confirmation? But confirmation is an understanding of what God has already done for us. Okay? Because, remember, I've told you this before when I talk about things from God. As my pastor told me when I was a kid going through confirmation, arrows always come from God to us, never from us to God. So if we make a decision, which way are those arrows going? See what I'm talking about? When we have these kind of blessings, we receive them from God. That's why you hear me talk a lot about receiving things. Because God's already done it. Jesus already died on the cross for us. It's done. Okay? But yet we have to open our hearts a little bit. So in baptism, it is not your work you bring to God, but rather it is God's work he brings to you. Now to explain it makes sense, doesn't it? You cannot contribute anything. All right, think about it for a moment. What is it you think you have that God needs? Nothing. Okay? Name the great riches or wonders that you possess that he did not create. And we're back to that idea of arrows again, aren't we? I want to share a story that helps show this. There was a scientist who once got this point a little mixed up. The scientist claimed that he had finally, utterly, and completely eliminated the archaic need for God. Man could become God. The scientist had discovered how to create life out of nothing. Actually, that's going on right now in test tubes in the lab. Well, God heard about this, and always wanting to keep on top of such things, he decided to head down to Earth to investigate these claims. After all, he sort of had a monopoly on all this creating something out of nothing thing, and there might be grounds for patent infringement. So God left his regal throne, went down to Earth, made his way to the laboratory, and there he found the scientist hard at work. Scientists looked up and saw God and said, "We have no need for you around here anymore. I have replaced you with myself." And God, humoring the man, said, "Oh, really? Just what it is you can do that replaces me?" And the scientist replied, I can create life out of nothing. Actually, in Latin, it's creatio ad nihilo. That's God's creation out of nothing. You are obsolete. The scientist was just a little bit arrogant, wasn't he? Well, God, still humoring the scientist, said, well, perhaps we can compare notes. Why don't you show me how you do it, and then I'll show you my own technique, and perhaps we can improve on the whole process. The scientist, quite proud of himself at having God ask him for advice, agreed, and God said, you go first. After all, this is all new for you. And the scientists began, well, first we take some dirt, and then, and God abruptly interrupted. Hey, wait a minute here. You go get your own dirt. I made that. What is it you think you have that God needs? Name the great riches or wonders you possess he did not create. Just as that scientist found out, everything we start with comes from God. Not God's faith, your faith, it's God's faith. It's not your grace, it's God's grace. It's not your word, but God's word that brings about our salvation. So, do we bring anything to this discussion? Do we have any arrows that lead to God? I don't think so. It's good to be a Lutheran Christian because we can rest assured that our salvation has been won for us. And all that needs to be done has been done because it richly, solely, and only comes upon God's perfect work, which he has accomplished perfectly for us by sending us his son who died on the cross for us. Now, folks, I spend a lot of time talking with people whenever I meet them. Pat and Piggy gets mad at me and walks away from me in stores. No. But I generally ask two questions, open discussion. The first is what church you go to, and the second one is, do you go to church? Did it yesterday. I had a lady that was talking to me at the store, and I said, what church you go to? And she said, I go to St. Anthony's in Punta Gordo. It's a Catholic church. I said, really? And she said, yeah, I'm Russian Orthodox, but there's not one close to my house. The nearest one's in Northport, so I go there. And so I spoke to her a little bit in Russian, and she said, how do you know Russian? I said, well, because I grew up Russian Lutheran. We got talking, but anyway, she likes St. Anthony's. She's going to go there. But the thing is, she is going to church. I found that out. Okay. Of course, during COVID right now, that's a little tough. By the way, you know, I belong to the Society of the Holy Trinity, which is a pan-Lutheran society of pastors, okay? In other words, we have Missouri Synod, we have Wisconsin Synod, we have ELCA, we have LCLMC. We even have some real funny ones that belong to this group. But our senior is Larry Rekla, who is serving at an Episcopal church up in the Villages, is what it's called. I've never been there. He sent me an article this week that was put out by the Episcopal Church that, to me, is scary. That after COVID, only 30% of the people that were going to church before COVID have returned to church. Think about that one for a minute. And like Peggy was talking this morning, you know, they're talking about, you know, they might have to put a ban on churches again. Wait a second. We have college football games. It's been nice to see in 80,000 people sitting there without masks on, but they're going to cancel church? I think it's asinine. You know, but the answer I usually get when I ask somebody, do you go to church? Well, I'm a believer, but I don't go to church. Really? I thought the apostles and Paul were very clear about that point. You need to go to church. Well, I'll get into this one in a minute. Another answer I get is I go to church, but I do it because I have to. Well, that's enough for me because I'm too busy to do anything else, so I can give an hour to God on Sunday. Are they going to church for the wrong reasons? Yeah, I think so too. What about doing good works for God, I ask? This is a real answer I got. Listen to this. Works are unnecessary and obsolete. Thank God I didn't hear it here. I heard this one in Texas. All that is required is that I go to church and put in my hour. What? Going to church. That sounds like going to church has been turned into law instead of gospel. It's something he has to do instead of something he wants to do. I want to continue with what else he told me. Well, maybe I don't have to go to church either. After all, God is in all these places at all times. I can worship God anywhere. Church is for those less holy and pious than myself, those less spiritual than me. Pride goeth before a fall. Hope you're starting to understand there's something wrong here. You know, like the scientists, I've gone too far in my claims. Is it fact that true that works are not required at all? Well, the answer is actually yes and no. What do I mean, yes and no? You see in James, in our text today, what he wrote is quite clear, that works are required. Let's look at verse 17. In the same way, faith by itself is dead if it does not cause you to do good works. Now, are we doing those good works because we want to or because we have to? Are works required for salvation? No. I mean, salvation was earned for us. But do we want to share what God has given us? And, you know, our sermon hymn today is Pass It On. Do we want to pass on what we've received? So James says, without works, you have no faith. Remember, he says, if you show me your faith, your works by your faith, I'll show you my faith by my works. In fact, hell waits for you because without works, your faith is dead. Going down? So I think there's one of two things going on here. It could be the Bible contradicts itself. Maybe God's not perfect and his word has flaws in it. Well, I don't think that's the case, do you? The other possibility is that we're missing something in our search for the truth. I was not wrong when I said it's so good to be a Lutheran Christian. You see, we have all the answers. Getting a little deep. And it does please God. It's just that there are two kinds of good stuff. Two kinds of righteousness. I'm looking at the people who grew up Lutheran in here. You ever heard that before? It's one of the bases of the faith. Now, righteousness, there's a churchy word. In other words, what does it mean? Okay. Well, righteousness is a nice way of saying your good stuff. So righteousness and sanctification, remember sanctification? Are related, okay? There is good stuff in you, and it does please God that you share that stuff. It's just there's two kinds of good stuff, two kinds of righteousness. All right, so it's centered in two areas, that of justification, and the second is sanctification. What is justification again? Forgiveness of sins. Okay? The Bible uses that word quite a few times. Okay? And then sanctification is what? To be made holy. Thank you. Okay? And sanctified, sanctus, holy. You know, we do that in the church service every Sunday. All right, so we have justification, forgiveness of sins, and being holy. Which one do works fall under? Forgiveness of him? Yeah, holy. Okay? So, we understand that there's two things here. What God does for us and what we do for our neighbor. Make sense? Okay. We understand that our righteousness before God is the work of God alone in us. Okay? It's true, there's nothing we can bring to God, but He brings everything to us. We lean on Him and Him alone for our salvation. God be praised and thanked that it comes that way. All right, so we have what we get from God. What's the next step? Here's where we look at the cross. Remember, I've used this as an analogy. What does that cross beam that's straight up mean? What comes from God comes to us. Then what's the next thing? What comes from us out to, okay, two kinds of righteousness. The stuff we receive, the stuff we do. Justification, sanctification. You look at it that way, it's easy to understand, isn't it? Okay? And it's important because to be made holy, we got to let it flow through us. Remember, I've talked in here about forgiveness. If we're forgiven, but we don't forgive our neighbors, are we forgiven? No, we put a stop here. Okay? As Luther says, we got to be a conduit. It comes down, it flows. Now, when I say forgiveness, remember I've talked about forgiveness is one thing, remembering and that kind of thing is another. Okay? Once you've been burned, burn hand teaches best, right? So there is an element of trust that has to be re-earned when we forgive. You can forgive somebody, but it takes a while to trust them again. Make sense? Okay, so when we're talking that, it's one thing. But is there really any difference between the justification and sanctification? Are our sins forgiven? Justification, we don't forgive others. If we don't pass on what we received, see the stop? Okay. So, are good works necessary? Yeah, they are. But are they necessary for salvation? No. They're necessary because we want to share what's going on. You know, as I was thinking about this, arrows only go from God to us. But yet, remember my sermon a couple weeks ago, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Okay? Why does God care about us? Think about creation. Some people think they can get closer to God if they get on top of a mountain. Why? God's up in the sky. Remember last week I talked about the Pharisees wearing blue robes? Because that's the color of the sky, and so they're closer to God because they wear blue. Doesn't make any sense, does it? You ever seen those pictures of Earth from the moon? Beautiful picture, isn't it? Okay. When we get away from it, the world doesn't look that big, does it? And again, we're in one of the smaller spiral arms of the Milky Way galaxy. We're not anywhere close to the center. There's billions of stars in this galaxy. There's billions of galaxies. Why does God care about us? But He does, doesn't He? You know, all of creation, all of the universe is in God's hands, which means that we are in God's hands. He's got the whole universe in His hands. Sorry, I couldn't resist that one. I had to do that. Okay, but makes sense? Okay, so Mount Everest. If you climb to the top of Mount Everest, the highest place on the surface of the planet, how far would you have gotten in getting closer to God? You're not. Isn't God up in the sky? When I was a kid, I was told that in Sunday school and in vacation Bible school. God's in the sky. Hello, God. But yet, how do you get a theological concept across to a kid? Make sense? Ugh. Nope. The thing is, we can't get to God. We can't even know anything about God unless He comes to us in His creation and tells us about Him. God's Word. Sola Scriptura, by Scripture alone. All of this is that first kind of righteousness. It's what we receive. As a theologian, we learn that as vertical righteousness. Make sense? Vertical, straight up and down. All right, if that's vertical, what's this one? Horizontal righteousness. Hey, you guys could have gone to the seminary. We had to learn that in seminary. But you see what I'm getting at? They're both good stuff. One we receive, one we pass on. You know, there's times when somebody's in need. Do you help them? You try. Pat has worked at, I'm going to use you as an example today. You were starting to go to sleep, so I wanted to make sure you're awake. But anyway, Pat volunteers at Jesus Loves You Ministry and gives showers. Okay? That's a thankless job. But yet it's necessary, isn't it? You know, because it's needed. It's what your neighbor needs you to do for him. You know, when you contribute to very social programs, just like Richard's talking about today and what he shared with us, or when we are a congregation who shares things with individuals or with groups, is that vertical righteousness or horizontal righteousness? Horizontal, because it's going out from us to somebody else. Remember when we helped Pastor Coley in here 4 years ago? Okay, we have I have a real good friend I went to seminary with, Pastor James Coley, black African, lives in Cotton Tree, Liberia. He's got a beautiful congregation, he's got a school. Anyway, he started all this stuff, no money. In fact, they finally had to build a new church because the roof on the other one fell down. When I say they had to build a new church, they built a new church by hand. They made their own mud bricks and fired them. Somebody gave them hundreds of rubber trees. So they asked for chainsaws so they could cut them up and make the rafters and things. Anyway, they built this beautiful church. Okay, not fancy, but it's beautiful. So when I say they built the church, they built the church. In fact, I asked him one time, why don't you just get a contractor, come in and do it? And he says, no. He says, in our tradition, if we're going to build a church and honor God, we build the church and honor God. And I thought, you know, that's not actually a bad way to look at things, is it? You got it. Folks, if church was only a place where the weakest Christians came, they would have no one to look up to. Okay? When you, who are strong in your faith, come and worship here, you bolster and support those who are a little bit weaker in faith. Because it's working together. I mean, we've all received, but as that flows out of us, not only does it flow on the people in the mission field, it flows on us in here too. Isn't that important? Yeah, I think so too. There's a poem I heard years ago, and I wish I remembered who wrote this. But here's the question. Oh me, so sad, recurring, what good among these? Oh me, oh life. Sounds like a little bit of depression there, doesn't it? Okay? And here's the answer. That you are here. That life exists and you have identity. That the powerful play goes on and you will continue and contribute a verse. Remember when we sing in here, Lord of the Dance? Dance then wherever you may be. You are the Lord of the dance, said he. Think about that for a second. We are, and that's what's important. Folks, this is something I think that was important today. And the reason it's important, and I want to share this with you at the end, is that many times, you are the only Jesus that people will see. So when you talk to somebody and mention Jesus, you are standing in the place of Jesus with them. Make sense? You know, sometimes one of my brothers said to me, you know, when you're giving a sermon, you have to mention the cross. Because you have a visit in there and never heard that, they need to hear that. But not only is it visitors, I think all of us need to hear that. So going back, I'm going to say that one more time. You are the only Jesus that people will ever see. So in all things in your life, try to emulate Jesus. Be kind to one another. Be patient with one another. It's tough for all of us. Be honest to one another. Be Christian with one another. And do the works that God has given us to do. May our works in Christ's name help to keep us closer to our Lord and Savior. Amen.